This episode is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Hardcore is a new series from Heritage Radio Network. Over six episodes, we're taking a close look at the rebirth of American cider.
Really, it wasn't until about 10 years ago that cider started to be revitalized in the United States.
From the science of fermentation.
So yeast, it's a fungus. It's a unicellular fungus.
To the magic of terroir.
What really excites us is thinking about communicating that very sort of spiritual aspect of knowing a piece of land.
We're setting aside our cider donuts to gain a deeper understanding of this singular beverage.
I love a cider donut. You don't have to have a cider donut with your cider, and I will die on that point.
Subscribe to Hardcore wherever you listen to podcasts.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague here with my mobile studio in beautiful, balmy New Orleans, Louisiana for Tales of the Cocktail 2019. I'm here with Marie King, the queen of tiki in L.A. Welcome to studio-ish.
Willkommen. Aloha.
Yeah. I just had the opportunity to meet you at an event here at Tales with our mutual friend Mo Herms from her podcast, which
also nominated.
Yeah, nominated for a Spirit Award this year for Best Podcast Broadcaster Video Series. So she introduced me to you, and I thought we'd sit down and have a chat about you, all the things you do, and then we'll get into the world of tiki as well, which is, you know, not foreign to me, but it's foreign.
It's new. It's hip.
It's
cool right
me.
Now.
It's cool been right
around,
now.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's hitting its peak, but I don't think it's ever going to fade out. I think it's going to keep... It's been around for so long that I think the traction is going to stay. Yeah, the pop-ups and the hipster kids, they'll stop doing it, but Tonga Hut has been around since 58. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah, so that's where you're proprietor now, or well, yes. You're the head of the boat there.
Yes.
Let's use a bunch of piratey
analogies
as we can, right? But let's talk about what got you there. Where did you kind of begin in this field, and what got you up to where you are today?
Yeah, my...
Without, like, dropping your whole CV on me, but...
Totally.
Just let the listeners know who I'm talking to.
Sure, my new husband of a couple months, and I got into the scene... Right in the beginning of our relationship, he took me to Trader Vic's for our first Valentine's Day, because that's where he used to go with his dad and mom. And we started collecting. We got into it actually for music, surf music, because he plays in a surf music band. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have home tiki bars. Went to a home tiki bar, somebody made me a drink. I was like, I taste apricot. The guy was kind of like, you can taste that? I was like, yeah, I guess, can't you? And... picked up the books, read Jeff Berry's book, got in with Tiki Magazine on their first issue, my husband did, and we ended up at Jeff Berry's house photographing for, I think it was the second issue on his column on cocktails. It was a Tiki Tea Green Lizard, and he liked my husband's work, so I got to assist in the photography for Sippin' Safari.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I've got the grog log, I'm already bartending... I'm bringing some tiki drinks in on my shifts, bringing some bands in, had like tropical sundaes. Next thing you know, the new Don the Beachcomber was opening in Huntington. And they asked me to lead the team and create their bar program.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
And
fortunate.
I always say the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah.
So I don't imagine you were just laying around doing nothing and this came at you. You were making some noise.
I was doing something.
So you were tending bar somewhere at that time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, corporate bar.
I don't know what that means.
Doesn't matter.
Just a corporate bar.
It's a corporate restaurant bar.
Oh, there we go. You said corporate bar, I was like, are there bars in the building for guys in suits? That sounds amazing. Because those dudes need a drink. So cool, you went from like the corporate bar world, which probably isn't as fun as it sounds.
No, but we were in the marina, so I had a lot of boat bums and old wannabe pirates and stuff.
Cruising in.
Yep.
I get it.
Literally.
And so you get to take over this bar.
Yeah.
And how long were you there? And what It seems to me you're not just a tiki bartender. And I think when I talk to tiki bartenders, which are not I'm going to talk to a ton of them, but you know, Brother Cleve, Beefham Berry, Brian Miller, like when you're a tiki bartender, it's your lifestyle.
Yes.
So you're already living that lifestyle. That's living how you got noticed by Beefham Berry. That's how you got into the book, etc.
Exactly.
And you live that lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bamboo Ben, when he was doing the layout, they were like, we need a bar manager. Ah, there's this chick. She's dependable. She's righteous. She knows how to make good drinks. She gets it.
Yes.
You know, so I got in there. It had been a tiki place from the 60s. This old politician bought the license to Don the Beachcomber, mm-hmm. came in, converted this place to a Don the Beachcomber, and was like, I want classic Don the Beachcomber drinks, but I don't want people to know what's in them. Go.
So...
I'll love the vintage Don the Beachcomber.
Yeah, the mystery menus, right?
Like, so I started thinking, all right, how am I going to do this? All right, I'll do a premix. Zombie's got all these ingredients. I can't guarantee that every bartender is going to count 6 drops of Pernod for every cocktail.
Sure.
So I'll make a premix.
Yeah.
It's got that stuff in it. Put an ounce of this in your glass. Go.
Which is how it was done in the beginning, right?
Exactly.
Did any of your team know what was in the drinks?
They did know what was in it, but not with the proportions. Because in this day and age, you can't keep that secret. It's not it's not the 30s, 40s. There's right. gluten and yada, 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 and allergies and sure. so forth. So you have to kind of tell them. And the menu says, guides them. You know, yeah. there's like the list and the descriptive words, you know? So yeah, there. I went from there, started making a house syrups, house falernum. Because back then, you couldn't get good pimento dram.
Back then, when are we talking?
2008.
2008, okay.
2007, 2008. No. But I mean... They wanted me to be... They had a huge kitchen, so they gave me the capabilities and the equipment to do stuff in the back. You know, while I'm squeezing juices, I might as well make falernum. I might as well make some syrups. I might as well do the cinnamon.
Yeah.
Making pimento dram, batching in the back.
Yeah, I get those jobs. But this seems like an incredible burden, right? If you have to hide the ingredients and their proportions from your team, that means... You alone have to make all these batches.
Oh, yeah.
So you're there 6 days a week.
6 days a week and still bartending on the side because I was afraid I was going to lose this job.
We all have that fear.
Yeah, because it was my first venture into, you know, management and so forth. And on top of that, I had to run the restaurant. I had to be table touching and, you know, wear the nice clothes and deal with food that's getting returned because there's something wrong or it's too cold and somebody didn't show up and so forth and so on. We had... 1, 2, 3 bars.
In this place.
Uh-huh. Seated 700 people.
Whoa!
Yeah, so we could have 2 events in the back separately, a band in the bar and another band, an event going on in a separate bar, plus the main dining room. It was vast. It was huge. So yeah, it was a challenge.
I can't even imagine 700 people being in a bar.
Like a mini Mai Tai, kind of.
Yeah. I will back up just 2 seconds and say
I got really skinny.
I know you're keeping some bar shifts on the side because of that that fear. You know, my buddy Sean Canyon quotes his dad all the time. His dad, Sean's a third generation bartender. He quotes his dad all the time and told him always keep 1 foot behind the bar and don't let him trick you into management.
Right. Yeah, I know. I made a mistake. I got suckered into it.
Well, you know, it's a progression, and if you want to make a career out of this thing, you can't expect that you're going to be behind the bar every single night forever.
And physically.
Yeah,
you know, physically, you can't do it. I'm getting 48, you know. So, you know, the varicose are popping.
Mm. Yeah, it's starting to literally weigh down the body to be, you know, on the bar as much as I am. I'm on the bar still 4 nights a week, and I'm, you know, I'm having to face the clock at this point. Like, it's running out.
Yeah.
So I've got to get all of it I can for the next couple of years because it's probably going to be fewer and fewer and fewer between.
When I made the transition over to Don the Beachcomber, I was behind the bar 4 days a week as well. But then things in the back were getting done, and I didn't have any help back there, you know, with
so
ordering and
the bar
and
4 nights a week, but then you're doing...
The day walker and the night walker.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about that a little bit. I'd like our listeners to stop hearing me complain about it. Not complain. I love it. I'd like to hear our listeners understand what it means to be in those positions, you know?
Yeah, the transition. And then 7 years, well, I should, let me go back. The only reason I left on the Beachcomber is because a woman decided it was more important to text her boyfriend that she was running late on the freeway in downtown LA than me get home safe.
Oh my, yes, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about this story.
Yeah, clipped me, did a couple donuts, stopped in the second lane of the freeway, got rear-ended from somebody who didn't see me coming, flipped my car twice, yeah, hospital for a month, no walking for 6 months, recovery for almost 2 years.
So you had a sudden and violent forced break from bartending for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
To relearn how to walk because you had your pelvis crushed is the word you use off air.
Yes.
That made me cringe a little.
Yeah, yeah.
Crushed.
A little bit. And my sciatic nerve was jacked up, so I ended up with a drop foot. So my right leg is partially paralyzed. Still.
Yikes.
It'll never be the same.
We walked just a pretty distant walk right now together. Through,
I was a couple steps behind you, but...
I thought you were communicating with somebody while Mo and I talked. Oh, my.
I was giving you your space.
She needs a wide berth.
Right. I don't ever want to hold anybody back because of the disability, but if there was an issue, I'd speak up.
Of course,
but there wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, but 3 years ago, when the first Tales I came to, couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So it's constant.
Holy smoke.
Yeah, it's great, though. But I'm here.
Yeah, you're here, and you're back, and you are on the bar.
Yeah.
How many nights a week now?
None.
Zero.
Technically, zero.
Oh.
I fill in.
Keep that 1 foot behind the bar.
Yep. I jump in if somebody needs a day off. I'm super happy to take a shift. Sundays are kind of our tiki festivity days. I love jumping back there on Sundays. You know, a couple hours, go take a break. I'm not here for tips. I get salary. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a cut of the profits. It's all good.
Yeah.
Let me try something. Let me come up with this. I don't need my name anywhere. I know that if the Tonga Hut is a success, then I'm a success. That's where I'm at.
I think as a business person of any kind, but certainly the bar or restaurant world, if you can think about it like that, then it's, you know, I think about all the little details that need to be in place to make sure that everything's going to be a successful day of operation. And then lo and behold, at the end of the day, there's money.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think about that.
Exactly. I do the things in the back that allow my bartenders to succeed. And that's where I'm at now. In fact, I just got my assistant. I just hired an assistant.
Yep, I hired one back in January. It's amazing.
Yeah.
She doesn't do anything at the bar. She just does all my personal admin. I haven't opened my own email since January. It's amazing.
That's
such
great.
A relief. It's such a worthwhile check to pay.
Yeah.
That's a bill I'll gladly pay.
Yeah, Kat's doing the inventory and, you know, placing the orders for me and, like, you know, counting the money and making the banks, making sure everybody's on top of it.
Yeah. So you left the 700 capacity mammoth, and you jumped to where?
Tonga.
Oh, it was a direct jump. I thought there was one in between.
Nope. 2 years off.
So Tonga Hut.
So
you took
Tonga
those 2 years after being forced to take a break.
Yeah. I tried to go back to school. I tried to do a couple other things, and this opportunity came as, can you bartend on Mondays? Sure.
Yeah, easier way back
in. Maybe. And then
that's how they get you.
Yeah. And then a week later, they're like, we need help with inventory. We need help keeping the stock. And, you know, can you hire us some other bartenders? Do you know anybody? So I was straight into it. Then I had 4 days a week for about 2 years. Then I gave up all my shifts, hired enough bartenders to cover the shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And just ran the back of the house. Actually, I take that back. We opened our second location. So I was half between LA and Palm Springs.
So Tonga Hut has two locations?
Yeah.
Holy guacamole,
Five years ago we opened
Palm
Springs.
The original one is the longest continuously operated tiki bar in all of LA.
Say that 10 times fast.
Longest continuously operated tiki bar. And now you got another one that's just a baby, five years old.
Yeah.
How old is the old one?
61.
61 years and 5 years.
Yeah.
What's the similarities? Are they the same?
Yes and no. I mean...
They've got to have their own personality.
Right.
One's an old codger.
Mm-hmm.
And one's a young upstart.
Uh-huh. And one is restaurant, one is not.
Oh.
So LA, no food, no kitchen, tiny, capacity 65. Palm Springs, kitchen capacity of about 80.
Okay.
But I love it because it has the feel of the classic old tiki bars, restaurants like Trader Vic's with the small rooms and the little nooks and the crannies. We have a secret room.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. We have a phone booth.
Uh-oh.
That you go through.
You get hot dogs inside of there?
Yeah. Great balcony, people watching. Yeah, the kitchen. I think if we ever go out and open our third, no food.
Yeah.
No food.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I have four. Two of them are food, two of them aren't.
Yeah,
the two of that are so much more profitable mm-hmm. and easy to run. Mm-hmm.
Less staff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, less overhead.
Less labor.
Yeah.
Less food. Running.
Less bologna.
Less bologna. No yeah. bologna in my place. No it's bologna. Vegan.
Oh, nice. I heard that about you.
One of them. Not me. Oh, not me. Just went to Turkey and the Wolf today and had a fried bologna sandwich. Delicious.
Fried bologna?
Oh, yeah. That's a very common thing in the South. I'm from the South. This is like, I love coming
here. Yeah, we have this in common. We both lived in New Orleans. What year were you here?
I left in 99. I was here for 3 years. So 99, 98, 97, I believe is correct.
I was 93, 94.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first bartending job was at Checkpoint Charlie's.
Checkpoint Charlie's?
Yeah, dirty South.
Let's take a quick pause to hear from our sponsors here on Speakeasy Radio. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about Checkpoint Charlie's. And then we're going to dig into Tiki and the Tonga Hut and the new Tonga Hut. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on an eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Join Heritage Radio Network on Monday, November 11th, for a raucous feast to toast a decade of food radio. Our 10th anniversary Bacchanal is a rare gathering of your favorite chefs, mixologists, storytellers, thought leaders, and culinary masterminds. We'll salute the inductees of the newly minted HRN Hall of Fame, who embody our mission to further equity, sustainability, and deliciousness. Join us to explore the beautiful Palm House and Yellow Magnolia Cafe at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, where you'll taste and imbibe to your heart's content, and bid on once-in-a-lifetime experiences and tasty gifts for any budget at our silent auction. Join the party. Tickets are available now at heritageradionetwork.org/gala.
And we're back on the Speakeasy at our, mobile studio here in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Brick studio.
Yeah, it's all brick
in here.
It's
really beautiful.
It's a very, very nice apartment that I rented while I'm here through a weird hotel situation. Hanging out with the Queen of Tiki in L.A. from the Tonga Hut. Which now has two, I didn't know until we started talking the first half of the show, that it has two locations. Mm-hmm. But the first one is the oldest continuously operating tiki bar in all of LA.
Yes.
So, like, lots of heritage. Lots of heritage.
The tiki kind of vein in it died for a while. It was a local bar, mm-hmm. beer bar. When the current ownership came in 2005, there were, he said 5 80s era TVs, sports, pool table, that golf game with the wheel, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Dartboard, neon, and tried to bring in some tiki cocktails, but unsuccessfully, so we all called it the Tonga Butt. Yeah.
So wait, you're telling me that it kind of went from tiki decor.
It was always tiki.
Just neighborhood decor for a while.
But the tikis were always there.
They're still there.
All the elements, all the classic elements have always been there and never moved. The fountain stopped working for about 20 years and we got them running again. But they've always been there. The frame was there. The cocktails kind of, it fell into the de-evolution of tiki.
Sure.
As Jeff calls it and Sven calls it. And then, somebody came in and brought in Jeff's grog log, Beach Bum's grog log, and said, hey, you guys have really crummy tiki drinks here. Take this book and try to make something. It took a while for them to figure out what fresh lime juice was and so forth. In fact, Jeff Berry has a great story in one of his books about coming to the Tonga Hut in the 80s. And this the woman bartender with the Guns N' Roses cut-up t-shirt, he asked for a Mai Tai, and she said, sure, what's in it? He said, Orgeat, couple of rums, orange curacao, juice of one lime. So she threw it all in a blender, threw the lime in, popped the cap on, threw it on the cup. And the lime was jumping around the blender cup.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it took a while. We had the Grog Blog, and then somebody said, hey, what's going to happen if I drink all these drinks? Thought about it for a minute. One of the fountains in the corner is this guy that's been drooling for, at that time, 50-some-odd years.
Right.
He's our drooling bastard.
Okay.
So now, if you finish all 78 drinks, Jeff's Grog Blog, you get to become a member of the Loyal Order of the Drooling Bastard. We get fezzes. You get to put your name on the wall. There's about 800 people who have finished. In fact, yeah. Great money marketing scheme, too.
That's the, you know, so we do often talk about the business of bartending on this show.
Yes.
Wait,
loyalty
so,
programs.
Of course, indeed. I've got one in place at Honeybees.
There you go.
Say that again. 75 drinks.
78.
78. Okay. Still close.
78 drinks. Beach Bum Berry's Grog Blog. I call it cocktail archaeology.
Now, how do you... Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So I, even in the printed copy about mine, the last line of it is like, so we, it's an American whiskey bar. We do a similar thing. You drink X amount, you get a thing, whatever. But I say, you're going to learn a lot about whiskey, both bourbon and rye, and you may learn a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm. What you like, what you don't like.
Yeah. So they drink through all these, how do you record this?
It's, my investment is 5 cents. It's a copy from Staples or Kinko's, 8.5 by 11 sheet. We just mark off the drinks. We have a little file cabinet in the corner.
Alphabetical, boom, boom, it's done.
Yep, done.
Yeah, we have like a sort of a hotel registry.
Yeah.
And each page is a different person.
Well, yeah, each person gets their own sheet. They file it when they pull it out of the file when they come in. They file it when they leave. We mark off the drinks. You have 12 months.
Oh, time limits.
You have
12
months. Yeah, yeah.
Aha.
Yeah. Because it gets a lot of people.
I have a time limit to mine.
There's a, people have started 3 times before they finished.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. You got to still pay for every drink. I mean, I don't tell them that to their face.
I don't care.
But,
cheers to you. I'll have the first one with you. Let's get started again.
Yep, exactly.
Is there a regimented order? Or you can pick them as you go?
Anything you want. Yeah. Well, people, there becomes groups. You'll have some people, they're always coming on a Monday afternoon. So then, or couples, and they'll have the same drinks. So you get a couple, and you get 6 or 7 people. It's so much easier for the bartender, too. They make 6 of the same thing.
Right.
You know, boom.
And we're rotating through.
Sundays are like that. We're actually starting part 2. So Jeff's second book was Intoxica.
Yep.
So you're going to become an intoxicated bastard if you finish the second book.
Oh my gosh.
And you have to have done the first book first.
Right.
Then you get to work on the second book. And then we're going to give you a gold drooling bastard mug that says Intoxicated Bastard on the back. And they'll be numbered. So you'll know if you were first or 10th or 500th to finish.
So other than getting my name on the wall, what's the prize for the first one?
You get a buck off your cocktails.
Forever.
Premium cocktails. I'm not giving you a buck off your $2
correct,
PBR.
Correct. Yeah. Right. You buck off the cocktails forever.
Right.
Once you're a member forever.
You're a member.
It doesn't last just a year and you have to start over.
Nope.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna
and you get a little pendant that says buck off.
I'm gonna buck off. I get it.
Yeah.
It's a dollar off your drinks. You tiki guys are so...
We're so quirky.
Punny. It's just punny. I don't know what it is about tiki that wants to just pun everything up.
It's the... I don't know. It's an American invention.
The pun?
No, the... Tiki. Tiki in and of itself is an American invention.
Sure.
You know, so I think we're just punny people.
Are you doing the same kind of program at location number 2?
Have not yet, but they're going to do something different there.
Cause haven't yet. We're only 5 years old.
Yeah.
It was time.
It took us 55 years to get something down in L.A. But it won't be necessarily a time limit, and it won't be a different book. It's a different caliber of bartender that you get out there. So they've got our house recipes down. I've curated both menus so they can get the menu. To give them another 78 drinks is questionable.
Right.
Plus stocking everything for 78 additional cocktails is it's labor. It's a task. So they're going to just do a menu, like a little passport. No time limit. Keep the passport in your wallet. Every time you come to Palm Springs, work on your passport.
Yeah, that's
something
pretty cool.
Something more tame, doable.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Man, I really like that idea. It's very. I'm doing a similar thing at Honeybees, and the time limit thing. I'm gonna add that in. I like that. That's good.
Yep.
It puts the pressure on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You want the prize? Get in there and get it.
Sure. I mean, and then people think of it as a challenge.
Yep.
We had one guy finish in 11 days, which I would not suggest to anyone. He said he would have finished it in 9, but he puked in an Uber twice and couldn't come in the next day.
His Uber rating went down.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's a good young, strapping 400-pound boy, so.
Right.
But I would not suggest that at all to anyone. Average time, 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Totally doable.
I'm not gonna come every night. I got other life. I got life to live.
And some people go in with it, gung ho, and then 6 months into it, they forget about it.
Right.
That's fine. You can either start it again. I never see you. I had you as a regular for 6 months.
Right.
It's fine.
I get it. It's great business.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. What other kind of innovations are you pulling at the oldest tiki bar in LA?
We do Rum Rum Club once a month.
What's that?
Yeah, so we get either a brand or a type, or we go regional. And it's 2 hours on a Sunday before we open. $20 to join. You get a little passport. You get a stamp every time you come in, depending on what the topic is. It's a 2-hour lecture. You get tastings of the rum. I usually throw together a cocktail so you get to see how it's used in a cocktail. And education. So depending if it's a brand, you get to learn about the distillery, the type. And these people, they're really knowledgeable now. I mean, you could tell, you could throw words out like pot column, open air fermentation, you know, closed fermentation. They know what you're talking about.
Logo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they get you.
They get it. And it's all rum. The last one we did was on the molasses and sugar acts. So it was a historical lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some American rums come in. Excuse me. We've done brands. I've had Rum Bar come in. You know, you learn about the funk, Jamaican, a couple cocktails, Bahani Daiquiri.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these cocktails are so good, they'll make it on the menu. We'll do some pop-ups, you know, table tents, run those as specials for a while. It's great for the brands. It's great for us. We get product. We get people. We get education. It's fun.
And is this open to all the public? You have to be like...
Anybody.
Kind of, yeah.
Anybody. You just pay your $20.
You don't have to be in the club to get
in. You don't have to be a bastard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bastards and non-bastards allowed.
That's great.
Yeah.
And it's $20.
$20.
That's quite a deal.
Yeah, because the...
Like anywhere, that's a deal.
Yeah. You get drunk for $20.
Yeah.
And a little bit of
education. And maybe you learn something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love educational events where the ones being educated are also doing a pretty healthy amount of drinking,
mm-hmm.
because that makes me think like, oh, when I do this again, they'll come again because they'll forget it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get to teach them the same thing over and over.
Yep.
It's a revolving door.
Yeah, our friend Forrest Coakley, he's a rum expert out in LA. He MCs. I'll throw my two bits in. I'll come up with the drinks. The brands love it. Mm-hmm. Brands sometimes come in. I can't even know. I mean, it's been 5 years that we've been doing this rum club, so it's
once
great.
Once a month?
Yeah, once a month.
That's incredible. It's a lot of work,
once
though.
A month, maybe 10 months out of the year.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
Holiday time is tough, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, August is all about summer and tiki events, so we kind of take that month off. But
mm-hmm.
And then Christmas, we'll do a meeting, potluck, sort of meet and greet.
I mean,
get rid of the old shit that I still have laying around.
Yeah, yeah.
The old stock.
Right. I think one of the greatest advantages of any kind of tiki bar program is that, like, anytime you start to accumulate just a couple of 2 bottles of this and 2 bottles mm-hmm. of that are lying around in your stock, it's like,
mm-hmm.
punch bowl, here
mm-hmm.
we go. Punch it up.
Exactly.
You know, come up with a crazy name, make it beautiful,
yep.
You know, do it for the gram these days,
mm-hmm.
And then you can cruise right on out there with it and equalize your inventory easily.
Yes.
Talk a little bit more about how, you know, you've mentioned you live the lifestyle. You're a tiki
yeah.
lifestyle person. I can tell by the way you're dressed right now. How many people that come to the bar do you think are in that lifestyle too?
More than I think I know. More than I expect. Because it's such an established place in the community. People will be coming through on their vacations and they'll do the Tiki Tour of LA, and we're on that Tiki Tour, even though we're on the kind of the outskirts. North Hollywood is outside of downtown Hollywood, but you'll have people coming through. I'll put it this way.
We're from Des Moines, Iowa, but
exactly.
We're here to see the,
mm-hmm.
the world famous Tomahawk.
I got an order of 5,000 of our signature mugs. We don't make drinks in it. We just sell the mug. 5,000 in November of 2018, and I'm down to about 1,000.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's 4,000 people have come through and wanted to buy this mug.
Yeah.
You know, that are collectors or care. I mean, who's going to buy a signature $40 mug unless you give a damn, you
right.
know? So they wanted a piece of the history, a piece of it to take home with them. So yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. How do you, like, is your home decorated in a way like the bar is?
Yes.
Is a lot of bamboo and...
No bamboo. We have it clean mid-century, but like key pieces. We have a lot of classic oceanic art, Papua New Guinea pieces. We collect a lot of Waco. My husband's also in a band called Tikiaki Orchestra. Yeah. We're kind of the tiki power couple.
Tikiaki. Do they play at the bar? Orchestra.
There are seven guys. Oh. They have a version that's four
they take
guys.
Half the bar.
Yeah. They're outside. There's a version that's four, and yes, they've played in the bar. Tikiaki 5-0. But we get to go on these trips together. We went to... Yeah. we get to work together.
The fun never ends.
No. Hukilau, you know, he did five sets of music with two bands, and I did four pop-ups. And we get to travel together.
Yeah.
We're doing a thing together up in Oakland. I'm sorry, Emeryville at Trader Vic's, the original Trader Vic's, for the 75th anniversary of the Mai Tai. So I'm going to guest bartend, and they're playing.
Where's it? When's this going to be?
Oh, shoot.
That's
July?
All right. I'll look it up.
I think it's the end of August, the last Sunday of August.
I'll look it up and put it in my show notes. What's the event called again?
It's going to be the 75th anniversary of the Mai Tai.
Oh, it's just
yeah.
No name to it?
At Trader Vic's.
Cool. I'll look it up for my... I'll put it in the show notes for listeners to go and find and check it out and maybe come up and see you and see your see your man's band.
Yes.
Seven-piece tiki band playing surf music.
It's more Exotica. That band is Exotica.
Ooh.
So it's classic Martin Denny style.
Okay.
The 5-0 gets a little surfier, a little rockier.
Right.
But there, yeah, there's just the orchestration and the instrumentation is just beautiful. Really, really lovely.
Yeah, outstanding. I think a lot of people don't... recognize face value that the sort of tiki community and that lifestyle has it's beyond the look and the dress and the and even the drinks, right?
It's a mindset.
Goes into music as well. And there are even factions of music inside of there, right? Surf and Exotica. I mean, I'm sure you know Brother Cleave.
Of course. Yeah. Brother Cleave, who cut his finger off in the bar. Did you know that story? Have
no.
You heard the story
in
about
your bar?
Yeah.
Oh no, how do you do it?
Patron. It's all Patron's fault.
Of course.
They were filming the
tequila.
Of course. They were, it's not rum, I'll blame it on the tequila all day long.
That's right.
They were filming the educational video for Patron. And he was, the first time in his life, he was zesting some lemon.
Educational video?
They paid us to shut down for 2 days.
Hey, I'm not saying no, I'm just saying,
right.
What are they educating?
Yeah, how to make a tiki drink with Patron.
Okay.
And he was the instructor, MC, blah blah blah. Yeah, here's how you zest an orange. Somebody comes back in the back and says, hey, do you guys have a Band-Aid here? You know, Cleave cut his finger and I came out with the Band-Aid and took the napkin off and it was just every heartbeat and squirt coming out. It's like, y'all, I think he's going to need more than a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
He missed the rest of the day. I had to have it cauterized.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was gnarly.
He was my roommate at the first Tiki by the Sea.
Oh yeah, I spoke there last year.
Yeah. So do you get to go and do a lot of the tiki events? You mentioned Hukilau. Now there's Tiki by the Sea. You're going up to
Hukilau, Tiki by the Sea, Tiki Oasis, Tiki Con.
Do you nerd out and travel to other tiki bars?
All the time. Often as possible.
Have you ever been to Cleveland, Ohio?
I have not been to Porco's yet.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I know.
You knew it right away.
Absolutely.
Porco Lounge.
Inferno Room. I need to get there. Porco's.
Porco is awesome for a lot of reasons,
yeah.
like all tiki bars are.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons Porco is awesome is it's basically a museum of tiki, which I think a lot of tiki bars are.
Mm-hmm.
But the front doors of the Porco are the former front doors of the Mai Tai, which you mentioned.
Really?
Yeah. And inside there's the two sailing pontoon canoe boats, the princess and the, I can't remember, something else hanging in the... Hanging the rafters up there.
Amazing.
That are from other old tiki bars. Like, it's crazy. Everywhere you look is obviously a lot of new stuff, like tiki mugs and kitsch and all that sort of thing. But then he'll be like, no, this piece came from this very time. I don't know. I'm not a tiki file, but he is like a museum curator in there.
That's how our Palm Springs location is. And go in the back, and there's a lamp that used to be in the Chicago Trader Vic's. And a bunch of pieces that used to be at the Bahuka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible, right? Like, all the, you know, paraphernalia that still exists that's from the original stuff, and then all of the sort of new stuff that's made to kind of mimic it, but like you mix it all together and you don't care anymore. Like, that's what tiki is.
It's
it all
escapism
together. Yes. Talk about
that's
that.
What it's all about. Tonga Hut has no windows, so you have no idea what time of day or night it is. You walk in, walk out, put your sunglasses on, maybe not. It's, you don't want to have to think when you're going to a bar. I don't want a menu that you have to read into. That is fine if that's your thing. You know, there's some amazing, fantastic cocktail bars that, you know, the menu is a book. It's something to be studied and looked over. But for us, we want to go in and throw you an umbrella and let you know you're going to have a good time. You know?
What? Oh, it flips out sometimes. Don't worry about it. You're good. It's still going. You're fine. It's a new system.
Okay.
It'll probably pop back in. Sometimes it switches to mono. Sorry about that. We're having a little technical issue. It is escapism. And I think that, like, all of that, all of those trappings make you just feel more and more like you're not, well, anywhere.
Right. And the ebbs and waves of tiki have come and gone with, you know, the economy and whoever's president. And I think right now we're looking at a lot of escapism. You know, a lot of people are trying to get away and forget and drown their tears in a couple of cocktails. LA, where we're located also, there's a lot of transplants, a lot of younger people. We're sometimes their first introduction to a bar because we aren't still in a local community in the neighborhood, which, and there's not a lot of bars around us. That's how we stayed open as long as we did. So I almost feel like it's my duty to show these guys, this is what a good drink is, you know? And this is what you can get at other places, and this is what they substitute, and this is where tiki went. I have one drink on the menu that I would not suggest to anyone, but I found it on a piece of card, on a note card in the back, in the desk drawer, and that's what we make. Because it's the Tonka Punch.
Right.
I found it in the drawer. This is how they made it. Could I change it? Would I change it? Should I change it? I would like to, but I just can't. It's the thing that it was. I mean, there's still, you know, cigarette stains on it, on the postcard.
Right. I mean, I feel like, you know, cocktails in general went through some pretty harsh phases where, you know, we were making things that were reasonably fresh and good. Then we shifted into this, like, everything's out of the can / gun. Then we shifted back into gear. But those sort of, there's, we still have a hangover from those spots, right? Both literal and non-literal. From those spots that are still, you know, winging out Mai Tais that have pineapple juice in them and grenadine. And, you know, like, somehow this simple four-ingredient drink has nine things in it at your bar. What's going on here, right? How does that upset you or your bartenders? Are your bartenders living the lifestyle? Are they dialed in?
They, if they aren't when they're higher, they end up getting it. I don't want to hire too many that are in the lifestyle because then they'll all want to go to the events. And we have a lot of them in California and nobody can take every, you know, we can't shut down for a weekend because everybody wants to go to Tiki Oasis. Right. It just doesn't happen. So we, yeah, so I'm kind of like, well, are you going to go? Are you, how into it are you? Fringe, fine. You know, understanding it, great. You don't have to live it. We have three that definitely do. A couple that love it. A couple that tolerate it.
I mean, that's good, too. You know, you got to have a well-rounded team.
Sure, we have a rock and roll element to us still. Yeah. You know, our jukebox isn't just Hawaiian, Exotica, Don Ho, surf music. You have some Iggy Pop in there. Some Leonard Cohen,
nice.
Some Tears for Fears,
yeah.
Hall & Oates.
Yes,
you know, it runs the gamut. So we're all encompassing. But yeah, it surprises me how often tiki people come in that I don't know.
That you don't know that they're in
there. I don't know they're in there. Yeah,
and they come a few times, and you start to realize, like, wait a minute.
Yeah. You're a lot of Hawaiian shirts.
Every time you're in here, you have a flower in your hair, right? That's got to be a great feeling, and especially, you know, for a place that's established for so long, you've literally done this for generations of people. Like, do you have, how long, this is a random question, but how long has your longest standing regular been a patron at the bar?
1964.
Whoa.
Bobby.
Shout out to Bobby. Is he in the Buck Off Club?
Yeah, no.
He's not.
Because he hates those drinks. Miller Lite, Jack and Coke, the only one of those drinks he's had was the Sidewinder's Fang, or the Pieces of Eight. Those are the only ones he likes. Because there's like an ounce and a half of passion fruit syrup in each one. So that's the only thing he'll drink.
Wow.
Yeah. We thought about making him an honorary bastard by having at least 78 people come in and order one of each drink and attribute it to him.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Bobby. Come on, man. He's been coming in there for that long. He's never
going
to use his buck off because he's not buying the premium drinks. So
exactly.
It's a gimme either way. Mm-hmm. Get 78 people to give one to him.
Yep.
Everybody wins. That's amazing. What's next for you? What's coming down the pipeline for you in the bar?
Honeymoon. Just had a honeymoon. We went over to Amsterdam.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
A long courtship, 15 years.
15-year courtship. I had to make sure I was getting it right.
Yeah.
We don't
move too fast in these things.
No point. Molasses. Yeah. It's what rum's made of.
That's right.
We were in Amsterdam, and I met with Sheer, and we're talking about putting a Tonga Hut blended rum out on the market soon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Maybe bottle some of the syrups that we use, kind of the, I hate to say the corporate thing that Vic and Don both did by monetizing their brand, but we have a brand.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking at that. There's been talk about opening another Tonga Hut, but nobody wants to move anywhere to open it.
Right.
So those things, personally, I was invited yesterday to guest bartend in London for London Cocktail Week.
Nice.
During Rumfest, or around Rumfest time in October. I have the Trader Vic's thing coming up. We have Tiki Oasis coming up in August. So we're going to do a couple pop-ups there. Forrest and I are talking about doing a Rum Rum Club book. So some of the recipes that I've done for the cocktails, and we'll do like a chapter on each style.
Yeah.
Island, region, type, you know, kind of something simple that people can get.
Tiki train is rolling hard.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a brand that we have, it's finally a brand that we can all stand behind.
Yeah.
So again, we want to not say exploit it, but you know, take advantage of it.
Take advantage. Yeah. Also, you know, you can always think to yourself, like, you want to get this stuff out to the people who maybe can't come and visit you. This is an opportunity for you to extend yourself into their homes.
Exactly.
Right? That's a good feeling.
And that's part of what Tiki is. I mean, anybody who's into it, you go into their house and it's going to fall over from all the crap.
Right.
You know, and the mugs and the collectibles and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We have a lot of that stuff in storage now.
My friends at the Porco have a whole storage building.
Yes.
It's insane.
Yes.
You guys are insane. I always say I'm not a collector. I'm a consumer. I don't collect a bunch of stuff. I drink it or I use it. This is an amusement park, not a museum. We're gonna use all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I love that there's places I can go that are kind of museums. That's great. Mm-hmm. I love going to like McSorley's and sitting in McSorley's and looking around. It's like sitting in a time capsule. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still newspapers on the wall talking about how in 1970 they finally let women in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I love that that's, you know, an immersive experience, which certainly leads to the escapism that's tied so closely to the Tiki lifestyle and Tiki bar. So I'm glad that there's people out there keeping it alive and doing it right. So cheers to you for that.
And finding it so it doesn't end up in a dumpster. You know, we had a really...
Yeah.
We went to an estate sale. I found this ad for an estate sale and we ran over there as soon as we could. It was for former designer of Steve Crane and Associates, which we knew who this gentleman was. He went out and he helped design it and help expand the brand, their brand, Steve Crane, from the Luau to the Contiki and the Contiki ports. And he went in conjunction with the Sheraton and opened all these places. We went to the estate sale. We schmoozed them. We got up in the attic. We found a box. And in that box are, you know, the negative outtakes from the menu.
Right.
His hand sketches of lamps that you walk into the Maikai and you could see today.
Right.
His logos, all of his drawings. There's a brilliant piece of a drawing of the uniform for the hostess with the swatch of clothing stapled to it. And again for the maitre d', and again for the, you know, the bartender. Just a treasure trove. And that stuff would have ended up in the dumpster.
Right. Now you can make this into something you can either decorate the place with or more stuff for your storage shed.
Exactly. But at least it's not in the dumpster.
Either way, it's been curated
and
archived. Man, what a delight having you on. I'm so glad I got to run into you here in New Orleans. If anyone wants to get hold of you or the bars, how could they do that?
TongaHut@gmail.com.
Yeah.
TongaHut.com. Or just come on in. Let me know.
Yeah, you got an Instagram or anything? You can look at some grammable photos.
I'm old. I forget about that stuff.
You know, the kids are into it.
#TongaHut. #TongaHutPS @TongaHut.com.
Yeah, I'll look it up to make sure. Yeah. If you got one, I'll make sure it's in the show notes. So check it out at Speakeasy Podcast. Instagram, and I'll have all that stuff on there when the show goes up.
And thank you.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. Yeah, really, really cool to sit down with you here on the Speakeasy Roadshow in New Orleans, Louisiana, Tales of the Cocktail 2019. Yeah. It's been a real pleasure to sit with the Queen of Tiki from Los Angeles, California, the Tonga Hut. Longest continuously operated tiki bar in America.
Yes, sir. Not America, just LA.
See, you told me to say it five times fast, and I just tried to say it five times during the show. And then, of course, the last one, I blew it. But that's fine. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Tune in next week for another episode of The Speakeasy, and we'll see you soon. Cheers, Tom.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.